So I was saying Paul's name was Saul. In the Old Testament, also there was a guy called Saul. I want to show you a little bit about his history. That's a great warning for us. If you turn to 1 Samuel, the first time you read about Saul in the Bible was when he was in obedience to his father. He went looking for some donkeys belonging to his father that were lost. And you read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. 1 Samuel 9, verse 3. The donkeys of Kish, who was Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Go, take the servants and go search for all those donkeys." He did it immediately, very obedient son. And he went many, many miles. He didn't just go quickly and come back. He went through Ephraim and Shalisha and went here and there looking for them and didn't find it, went to another place. Look at verse 4. He went here and there and they were looking all over. What an obedient son. And then finally he said, "We haven't found them. Let's go back to our dad because he'll be anxious about us now." And that's when he met Samuel. And Samuel, God told Samuel, "There's a guy called Saul coming to you." Verse 15, 1 Samuel 9:15. "Before Saul came there, the Lord told Samuel, 'There's a man coming tomorrow, and he's the one I've selected to be the king, the first king of Israel.'" The first king of Israel was not David, it was Saul. "And I'm going to make this man king." So when the Lord told him that, you see in chapter 10, verse 1, this is how they anointed them. Samuel took some oil from a flask and poured it on Saul's head and said, "You're anointed to be the ruler over the Lord's people." And then the time came to publicly anoint him as king. Chapter 10, verse 17. Samuel called, he had privately done it already, but then he wanted all the people to know it too. And he said to the sons of Israel, chapter 10, verse 17, he gathered all the people together and told them, verse 18 onwards, "I'm going to give you a king like you wanted it." So he didn't tell them, "Hey, listen, I've already anointed Saul as a king because the Lord told me." The people will say, "Oh, you did some partiality there." He didn't want to be accused of that. He said, "Let the Lord show himself who is the king." And the Lord brought, verse 20, all the tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes, and they said, "Cast lots." You know how they cast lots to find out and pick out one. One name. Which is that? Benjamin. They cast a lot and out of 12. That was God's sovereignty. Picked out Benjamin. Then they said, "Put the names of all the families in Benjamin." And one family, the Matrite family, was taken. Verse 21. Okay, then let's put all the children in this family. And they took out a lot and the name of Saul came out. So nobody could accuse Samuel of partiality. That's how the Lord controlled the lot in the Old Testament like that. And so they wanted to anoint him. And now this is the thing I want you to notice. They looked for him and he could not be found. He knew that they were going to look for a king and he knew he had been anointed king already. He should have been there. He should have been going right up in front. And where's this guy gone? And verse 22, it says he had gone and hidden himself in the baggage. That means a lot of suitcases were lying there and he was crawling underneath near some suitcase so that nobody would see him. He did not want to be king. He said, "I'm just a nobody." And he hid himself so that they wouldn't find him. But then somebody saw him there, they ran and took him. And Samuel said, "This is the one," verse 24, "whom the Lord has chosen." And everybody shouted, chapter 10, verse 24, "Long live the king." And the Lord was with him in a mighty way, in a wonderful way, and he got victory after victory after victory after victory. He was doing very well. And then finally, it came a test. One day, when he was after a battle, Samuel told him, I will come and offer a sacrifice for you. But Saul did not wait for Samuel to come. We read here, then a second thing happened. The Lord told, this is all in chapter 14 and chapter 15. I want you to go and kill all the Amalekites. And Saul did not kill all of them. He spared the king and he spared the sheep. So I don't want you look, you can see that all in these verses. And Samuel came to Saul in chapter 15 and verse 16. It was, earlier. Samuel came to Saul in verse 12. And Saul said to him, praise the Lord, I've carried out the command of the Lord. And Samuel said, what do you mean you're carried out? I can see the sheep of these Amalekites which God told you to kill. You haven't killed them. Then he made some silly excuse. No, the people wanted it. You know how when we are caught in a tough situation, we find some excuse to get out of it. Saul was like that. And Samuel told Saul, verse 16, let me tell you what the Lord told me last night. Verse 17, this is a great verse. A verse that you must remember for yourself. 1 Samuel 15, verse 17. Samuel told Saul, isn't it true? There was a time in your life when you were small in your own eyes. You hid yourself in the baggage. You were nobody. The day you came to CFC, you were a nobody. You'd be very thankful if one person came and spoke to you. But you've been here some years, and you've begun to think you're such an important person now. Aha. There was a time when you were small in your own eyes. It's a great expression, to be little in your own eyes. 1 Samuel 15:17. Keep that expression before you all your life. I keep it before me. I say, Lord, I always want to be little in my own eyes. I know a lot of people appreciate me, say so many things about me. Let them do that. That's their business. But in my own eyes, I want to be little. A small person, just like I was the day I was converted. The day I was converted, who knew me? Nobody knew me. Even the people in that small church I went to did not know me. I want to remain small in my own eyes. I would encourage that to everyone sitting here. Why have you become now big in your own eyes? And he lost the kingship. And he told King Saul, verse 28, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you. And he's given it to somebody else who's better than you. And Samuel never met Saul after that. He had nothing more to do with him. A man who started so well in his race, when he got victory after victory after victory, and it went to his head became bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe God has blessed you after coming here to this church, and gradually you have become a little prouder, and I'm somebody and I'm respected. And brother, be careful. Remain little in your own eyes. Even if you become the greatest saint in CFC or on earth, remain little in your own eyes, because God gives his grace to the humble. That's the only way you'll be able to finish the race. David came after Saul. He made some more serious mistakes than Saul. He did some terrible things. He committed adultery with somebody else's wife and killed the husband and married her. Can you imagine something like that? Ever heard of anybody doing that? Committing adultery with somebody else's wife, killing her husband and marrying her? Even though he already had 3 or 4 wives before that. But how did God deal with him? Saul never did anything like that. You know, the way we evaluate sin is not the way God evaluates sin. Because very often, it is what we do after we have failed that God sees. The one difference I see between Saul and David is when Samuel confronted Saul and said, "Didn't you do this? I told you to wait until I come and you went and offered the sacrifice yourself. Why didn't you kill everything that God told you to kill in the enemy? You had become big in your own eyes. God has taken away the kingdom from you."